Well, good morning. Good to see again most of you, and maybe some new ones here today. I was caught by Zach describing the men's event coming up and the women's event coming up, and I thought the men get to get these guns out and go blast things and make pieces on the ground, and the women are sent out to forage. And somehow it just doesn't seem fair. So this morning, in our message, the title is on the screen. What do you and I and the biblical Joshua have in common? And our text is from Joshua chapter 1. And the Joshua 1 is a transition from the book of Deuteronomy and the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, but it's a transition to the life of Joshua and how God is going to use him. I think the next slide says transitions, yeah. So when we think about transitions in our lives, there are a variety of transitions over the years that have to do with age, that have to do with work, that have to do with family, a variety of transitions. And sometimes our transitions look like this. They start out, all of us started out in one way or another looking something like this. And then we transition to a little bit older, and you may or may not have looked something like this. And the transitions go on, and I know you didn't look anything like this. Catch the glasses in there. Are you beginning to get an idea of who this is you're looking at? This will give it away. How about this transition? There we go. That beautiful woman and that lucky guy transitioned into marriage in their life and then with children. And so as we think about the transitions in our lives, and then we think back on Moses and Joshua, and so Moses to Joshua. So when you think about Moses, what do you think about? I debated whether to actually ask you this question and have you give me an answer or just make it rhetorical. I'm going to ask you this question. When you think about Moses, what do you think about? Just say it out.
Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments. Leadership. What? The reeds, the Red Sea, Sea of Reeds. What else do you think about Moses? Pardon?
Burning bush.
Okay. So when you think about Moses, there are a whole bunch of things that we can think about Moses. The Red Sea, standing at the Red Sea with this huge group of Israelites, hundreds of thousands at least, and Pharaoh's army charging and coming down upon them. We think of Moses in a basket in the Nile River. We think at a point in time in his life where his leadership was challenged and rejected by his older brother and yet older sister. We think of Moses' life being divided into 40s. The first 40 years in the court of Pharaoh, with all the splendor and learning and everything that was a part of that. The second 40 years were out doing a shepherd's life in Midian, having a wife and having two children. And then we think of the last 40 years of the Exodus. and leading the people of Israel through that, those 40 years of wandering and worshiping God during that time, and Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments, and then coming to the death of Moses, and then the appointment of Joshua. When you think of Joshua, what do you think about? Pardon? Spies. It's a little less clear of all the things you might think about Joshua. But Joshua was given the assignment by God to do what Moses had been doing, to lead the people of God, to be God's leader appointed to lead all these people into this foreign land that was occupied by mighty cities and mighty people, and to overcome those people, to have victory, and to establish God's people in the land. When we think about Joshua, we don't think about the miracles before Pharaoh or all the transitions that Moses had. We do think about the walls of Jericho. Even before I knew much about the Bible, I knew the song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, 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 and the walls came tumbling down. So Moses and Joshua. What Joshua was called to was a very honored thing from God, but it certainly was not easy, taking over God's leadership for all these people. The death of Moses is described this way. It'll be on the overhead. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab. There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Moses died. Joshua is appointed. And then the Lord spoke to Joshua personally about this new responsibility that he was given. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. And then he said further in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Let me just say that this sermon time is basically three parts. One is sort of background, which we've just been going through. The middle part is sort of a devotional that I was led to some time ago, a couple months ago. And then the end part is just some three particular application thoughts. By the way, on your sheet, down at the bottom, there's that little place for notes. You might want to save that place till the end to potentially write some things down that you might want to think about. But how did I get into reading this passage and thinking about it? When I was here last time, I think it was in March, I gave with this microphone, you can go like this. Sorry, there we go. I gave a sermon out of Philippians 4 about rejoicing in the Lord always, about being anxious for nothing, and right at the end, about being content in all circumstances. Sometime after that, I was having a little bit of a hard time applying the second one, of being anxious for nothing. And it had to do with a personal people issue, and also something about cars. And sort of maybe from the sublime to the ridiculous. But as I was processing through these things, I felt like I didn't know what to do. And my emotions were just agitated. I didn't feel the peace that I preached about in Philippians 4. And I was trying to think about what to do with it. And it, as a matter of fact, the people part of it sort of leaked over in the automobile part. And I was selling these two cars, and one of them on Facebook Marketplace. And I had a guy from up north a little bit along the river who... thank you. Who said, I'll buy your car. And I'm trying to think of how far away it was up north, not real far. But I said, well, you want to come down and drive it? And he said, no, I'll just buy it. And he said, I'll pay you cash. And I thought, you mean like dollar bills kind of cash? And then I looked up his profile on Facebook Marketplace, and this guy turned out to be a great guy, but he had this big gray beard, and in his picture he had this black kind of cloaky kind of thing over his head. And I felt a little anxious about what this sale was, and so I showed the picture to my two daughters around this area, and they said, oh, I hope you're not getting scammed. Don't get scammed, Dad. So these things were coming together to jump ahead a little bit to the end of the story. The guy turned out to be a great guy, and he came down and bought it, and we wound up having a good spiritual conversation about things when he came down. But in the midst of it, I was feeling all this tension, and I was trying to deal sort of with my feelings and to have the peace feeling that comes along with that. And finally, I sort of got so sick of myself in dealing with this, I said to myself, Jim, be a man about this. And you need to be strong in this situation. And I thought of 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I thought, the Lord over the years has taught me to be strong in Him in a variety of ways, as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor. I even worked for a commercial construction company for a while. And there was a sense of strength. That's what I thought of being a man. And as I thought about that, I thought about this passage in Joshua, where the Lord said to Joshua in the midst of his commands, "Be strong and courageous." And as a matter of fact, he said that in the next verse from what we just read, and then in the succeeding verses, "Be strong and courageous. Only be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." And sort of the devotional part of it is in verses 5 through 9, but before we go there, next slide. What is the common ground that I teased us with at the beginning of the sermon? What do you and I have in common with Joshua? And that is the need for all of us in a variety of circumstances to be strong and courageous through our relationship with the Lord to deal with that. What it says on the screen is our need as those who trust in our great God to be strong and courageous in all our difficult times and in the seasons of our lives. So then, in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, I want you to think about it with me a little bit like I thought about it as I was processing this. God's great truth to live on in expectant hope for Joshua and for us. So if you have your Bibles or on the back of your sermon notes, this is printed. In this case, I'm going to shift back over to the New American Standard. It's what I was using as I was going through this, but the ESV is pretty close. There are two words that are different that I'm going to bring out as we go along. But here's what it says: "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So we'll go through some little sections in this right now. So God's great truth to strengthen our lives, to lift them up, and to give us courage. Verse 5, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you." The first part of that, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. In my context of reading through this, of agonizing over decisions to make that affected other people and related to them, and feeling like I wasn't living what I had preached in a way, I was having trouble working with that. And I read this verse: "No one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life." And I'll just say, This is kind of over-spiritualizing this verse a little bit to start with, and I'm usually very careful about not doing that, saving the sort of the spiritual application. But this just hit me about my life before my Lord, and I read into it a bit, and not so much no man or no person, but no force or no power or no domain or no circumstances will be able to stand me before me to defeat me, to defeat God's purpose for my life, to defeat my walk with Him over all the days of my life, if I just keep walking with my dear Lord God. Nothing will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And all those things I was agonizing about didn't seem so significant. To realize that the Lord was going to carry my life in the direction that He wanted it to go, if I just trust Him. And then, let me make sure I'm on my right place here. And then the second phrase, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. And as we read the scriptures, we think when it says you, we think, does this apply to me? Or does this just apply to Joshua? But the Lord took the example of what He had been for Moses. And one of the descriptions of the Lord's relationship with Moses is that the Lord would speak to Moses as a man speaks to another face to face. And the Lord said to Joshua, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Just as I gave him the strength to be able to confront Pharaoh, to be able to resist Aaron's and Miriam's challenge of him, Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord led him and guided him. And I thought about for Joshua and his calling, and I thought about my life and my calling, that in some way the Lord is saying, the personal presence that I had and the strength that I gave to Moses and Joshua, I will give to you. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. And in a way, in the New Testament, there's an even closer relationship with God because of what Christ has done for us. And He, through His Spirit, dwells within our lives all the days of our life until we go to be with Him. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. And then He not only says that, and this is a word that's different than in the ESV. In the American Standard says, I will not fail you or forsake you. I will not fail you. The ESV says, leave you. And most of the translations are that way, but some are fail. It has the idea of being diminished and going away, like leaving. But that what Lord is saying is, I will not be diminished in all the circumstances in your life. I will not fail you. And I read that, and it actually kind of staggered me in my heart. I thought, the omnipotent God of the universe, the creator of all things, the majestic and holy God is saying to me, I will not fail you. I thought, what condescension of the great God that he is saying that to me. Not that I'm going to give you strength so that you won't fail me, but I won't fail you or forsake you. And so as I was going through just this one verse to start with before we even get to the being strong and courageous, I thought, thank you, Lord, for who you are to me in the midst of even confusing and difficult circumstances. And then what led me to this passage is this command, be strong and courageous. We think back on the 12 spies that went into the land, and Caleb and Joshua are the two that came back and says, yes, there are giants in the land, but it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And the Lord will give us victory in this land. So now here's Joshua again, taking Moses' place, leading the hundreds of thousands of people against these fortified cities and giants. And the Lord is saying to Joshua, now you be strong and courageous. The common need among all of us is to be strong and courageous in our trust in the Lord and all of our circumstances. I needed to be sort of a man in the circumstances I found myself in, but more than that, I needed to be a man of faith. You don't need to be a man to apply these verses. All of us need to be strong and courageous in the circumstances of our life with the strength that the Lord provides. I think of a mother's love for her children. And some of the agonizing that Jeannie, my wife, had as we went through our child raising. Be strong and courageous is a promise and an application to each of us. Then he says, only be strong and very courageous. There are times of trials in our life that are extra hard. I thought as I was going through this about Job and about Job's family being taken away, the work of Satan by way of the permission of God. And then Job being in agony physically and not understanding why it was happening. Joshua had battles ahead. And so the Lord said, only be strong and very courageous. I thought about, as was mentioned up here, Charlie Kirk's wife after his murder. The next day, she went on media with a video. And she was very bold and talked about carrying on the commitment of service that they had. But I thought, there are going to be times ahead for Charlie Kirk's wife where it's going to feel like it's too much. These little kids to raise on her own with her husband now not there. And she'll think maybe of these verses, be strong and very courageous. I thought, even in a smaller way, that my mom had Alzheimer's disease, and my mom and dad were living in Florida, and I can't remember what state we were living in at the time, Minnesota, Iowa, Colorado. But my mom needed to go into a nursing facility, an Alzheimer's memory care facility. My dad had done heroic work to care for her for till he couldn't. And I flew down and we found a place, and I came back a little bit later to bring her in there. But we took my mom into this nursing facility, and my mom was the sweetest person in the world. I'm a little biased. But then my dad and I got ready to leave, and she didn't know sort of where she was and why she was there. And she said, I want to go home. with emotion. Sometimes we have to do things that are hard. And the Lord says, be strong and courageous. There are hard choices that we have to make sometimes in raising children. There's wisdom that we need, but often we need to be strong and have courage that the Lord is going to be at work in those situations. Can you think of times in your life when it's just felt sort of overwhelming? The Lord says, be strong and courageous in the strength that I will provide. You know, even in Psalm 23, as I was going through this, I just looked at the clock. I'm not going to do that one. Okay, and then be strong and courageous, for you shall give, it says back up in verse 6. And I thought as I was going through this process that not only was the Lord going to raise my heart and my spirit and give me confidence that I could be strong and courageous in Him, but He was going to still use my life. And Joshua was to be strong and courageous. The ESV says lead. New American Standard says give. And I thought, Lord, you have a purpose for me still in this. If I trust you, you're going to fulfill it. Let me give you the three things, jumping ahead toward the end here. Strong and courageous in all of our circumstances and challenges. How can we do that? Three practical suggestions. Remember, in the midst of and often, who it is who says to you, I will be with you always. How do we be strong and courageous? Remember who it is who says to us, and applied to Christ in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you, forsake you. Who it is who says to us, I will be with you, and who says, I will not fail you. He who did not spare his own son, how will he not provide for you what you need as you walk with him? Secondly, remember or learn now that God uses and ordains trials for our benefit and for his greater good. Let me read that again. Remember or learn now that God uses and ordains trials for our benefit and for his greater good. We may not see what the benefit is for us while we're here, but often we do, because God uses these trials to put us on our face before him and say, God, I need you. I need your strength. And Lord, I'm going to trust you. I thought of Job and losing his family and then experiencing severe pain. There's something that went on in my life this summer that I'll just read as I wrap it up to a close here. I wound up having some pretty severe back pain. I lifted some heavy things that I shouldn't have lifted, and then I had a kidney stone. And the two of them sort of came together. I've had them before, so I knew it was. But they seemed to come together to produce some very severe back pain that I haven't ever had before. And I wrote this in my thoughts to the Lord. Oh, how I need you, Lord. This back pain is just too much. I have tried everything, for a month and there is no improvement. Going for a walk, next day pain. Cutting the grass, laying out some mulch, today serious back leg pain all day. This is your will for me, I wrote. This is your will for me. I cannot solve it. Change it. But I don't know how to endure it. Please, Lord, make it not so painful. Then I wrote down Lamentations 3. Surely my soul is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. The Lord is my portion, therefore I have hope. The next day, I wrote, oh Lord, here we go again today. Very painful back, 4 a.m., took an extra pain pill. Oh Lord, I love you this morning. Please show me your hand in this. I ask for special pain relief, but help me trust you always. Dear Lord, I again just give me over to you. Help me to be anxious to please you. Help me to live not so tied to this world. If this is a new phase for me, help me to think more about heaven, like Jeannie did. Help me to think of how many people I can influence and invest in during these days. The Lord has caused it to ease up some, and quite a bit. Let me show you the third one, though. In the midst of your easy days and hard, in the midst of your triumphs and trials, remember to love the Lord your God and thank him deeply for all that he has done for you. In Psalm 116, starting with verse 1, it says, I love you, Lord, because you have heard my voice and give attention to my prayers. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, even though we have not seen him, we love him. And even though we haven't seen him yet, we believe in him and rejoice in him, full of glory. The last verse in this section in Joshua, have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I think of Psalm 23 at the end. Let me just say very briefly, when I was going through this, I was thinking about Psalm 23, and I thought, these are just almost opposite passages of Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. And in Joshua, the Lord says, don't tremble or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous in the midst of this. But in Psalm 23, it says, you lead me in paths of righteousness for your namesake. But then just after, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Both of those are the Lord's leading. And at the end of it, he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Be strong and courageous. The Lord your God is with you, the omnipotent, holy God will provide for you in the midst of all these circumstances. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Moses and Joshua. Lord, I thank you for the journey over all these years that I have had. And I think of the folks out here, Lord, in the sanctuary, that many of whom I know the circumstances of their lives and the journey that they've been on, and sometimes it's been extremely difficult. But Lord, you have blessed our lives so much. You have been faithful to us. You love us without measure. And so, Lord, I pray that one of the thoughts that we have as we walk with you is that you would help us to be strong and courageous in the circumstances of our lives, and know your hand will be on us and you will bless us as we walk with you. Lord, we love you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name.